Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Black Print. I'm J5, Josh Pease, on location. What's up, Josh?
Reporting live, man. I'm out here in Vancouver, Canada. My first time in Canada. Can't ban the P-Man. It's over. Y'all literally cannot ban the P-Man. I made it out here. Definitely had a little hiccup on the way here, but
what?
You know, it let me... Not even a hiccup, but it's funny. The whole can't ban the P-Man thing started because I tried to go to Canada in 2014. Yeah. I tried to go July 2014. And these folks literally walked me back across the border. I drove into Vancouver, Canada in a tour bus, and they walked me over to Vancouver, Washington by feet. So that was when the campaign started. Shout out to Anwar. Shout out to Nardwar. He was a big proponent of the campaign. And yeah, man, I finally made it back 10 years later. I'm here for the Tech Conference. And I must say, a beautiful city. I'm really enjoying it.
Now, are you speaking on it or?
I'm just here a part of a cohort called Ignite.
Okay.
It's funny. Like, not an official on main stage speech. Just speaking to a few folks that's a part of this cohort as well. But I hope to one day speak on the main stage. I'm definitely inspired being here. Shout out to Ted and just what they're doing. I think, you know, I've always watched from afar. It's something I put on just late night just to kind of be inspired and learn something new.
Yeah.
And I always felt like the topics were a little beyond me. A lot of AI, a lot of climate control, a lot of things that just resonated with me, but felt like it just was out of reach.
Right.
But being here at the FGO conference, I see that these things aren't out of reach. They're definitely issues and topics that are relevant to my everyday life. And things that we should just be involved in and just have knowledge of. So
right.
I'm really appreciative of the experience. I'm appreciative of everyone who was out here. And I look forward to coming back. It's day two. So I'm in between speeches and panels currently. But, you know, I have to come and represent for my Black family.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And what we're going to do, we're going to have like a picture of you when you speak on the video version of this. So
Yeah. I said you. I got a couple photos. I got some good ones. Maybe we'll use my headshot, my LinkedIn headshot.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Of course, we coming live. It's a lot of stuff going on. MC also in the building. What's good, MC? Also, A Plus is also in the room as well. So we're all represented on the network right now, in here right now.
Yeah, man. Plus is over here on the side right now as we get this thing recorded. Things are going well though. I'm glad that everything has went well in Canada. I am interested on what I think it would fuck me up if I were to actually be in front of Nardwar and he would bring up like 9 different things that he knows of me from high school. That would actually kind of fuck me up.
Bro, I don't know how he does it. So when I did make it into Canada, Casey actually did an interview with Nardwar. And Nardwar brought a magazine for me because he knew that I had a magazine collection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just like he's deep. He knows everything. And when this whole thing happened, I wish I still had the video, but he did like a little shout out video. Actually, Anwar probably a part of one of the wave episodes. He was like, yo, like, I think he said free Josh Pease or some shit like that.
Oh my God. No, seriously. This episode is going to be weird because this is going to be the last time we're here in this area.
And the farewell episode.
Yeah. I got to start all the stuff behind us. I didn't want to start until we recorded. And I was like, I'm not going to take anything down until we do the last show. But Josh ended up not being here. Mark ended up doing this remotely today. And I'm remote. So this will be the last time we see this backdrop. So say wave goodbye to the regular 2-year, what is it, setup that we had here. And when we get back, we're going to figure something out. Next time, me and Mark are going to go visit a potential new spot. So we'll keep you guys posted on that, of course.
Have you ever taken a look back at our old video, like when we were only doing video for B-sides?
Nigga.
How that place has gradually came up since then?
Nigga, but well, how about when we were doing it in Josh's apartment? We were doing an episode in Josh's apartment. Across from
I was
going
to say, yeah, we've there's been a lot of changes. So shout out to the Black Print, the printers, man. Y'all been really rocking with us for a long time. And see the progression, and it's only going to get bigger.
Absolutely. So before we kick it off proper, we have agreed that this month's Throwblacks, when we get a chance to sit down and record it, we're doing Futures Honest. There's a lot of future talk this month. We figure we just go ahead and do Honest, right?
Yeah, let's lean into it, man. Honest, I have so much to say. I'll save it for that episode. But shout out to Future, man, having a big first two quarters. Honestly, was this Q2 at this point?
Yeah.
I definitely don't want my guy, my goat, to get lost in the conversation. He kind of put a lot of energy into hip hop right now, man. What will we do without Future and Metro?
Yeah, we got a lot of hashtag discourse. And when we talk about We Still Don't Trust You Later, we'll get into a little bit of that. We got a lot to talk about, though. A lot of topics. Before that, you know, Josh is in Montreal. I took a trip to Virginia over the weekend. It's a different place out there, yo. Virginia's different. Josh, have you witnessed just the gentrification of so many areas? Like, you've witnessed it. Like, what did you feel when you saw that?
You know what, man? I've always been, sounds ridiculous.
You're a proponent of gentrification?
I'm a little bit of a proponent of gentrification, man. I think just making a place better is beautiful, man. I think I've seen it in so many different places. I've seen it in Inglewood. I've seen it in South Central LA. I've seen it in the east side of Los Angeles. And I came front. Once it's gentrified, I'm frequenting those spots. So I think it's a good and a bad thing. You hate when the original residents are pushed out. But, you know, we got to clean up the city, man. I'm not against it, man. And I know I've been through Virginia. I spent a lot of time in Richmond in particular. And I haven't been there recently, but to hear that it's on this up and up, shit, I might have to go back.
Some of that is, I say up and up in that I feel like the area, and we got to get Huey back on the show, because I did reach out to Huey, or Huey reached out to me over the weekend. I just was everywhere. I was only there for 2 days. I haven't said this to our listeners, but I told you guys know, like my grandmother is, she's going through something right now. And I was like, I gotta take a trip out there and really just kind of decompress. I think that was like the biggest point of it is being able to decompress and see my family, see my grandmother. She's kind of, you know, she's up there, but she's still sharp. She's up there in age, but she's still sharp. You know what I mean? She don't remember too much stuff, or she might repeat stuff, but she'll pull up and. Like when I pulled up over there, like she would just say, "Hey, where's your wife at? What's going on? Where's all this stuff going?" You know what I mean? Like she and again, like I was able to decompress in that way after everything that's been going on in Q1 with me and stuff like that. But just seeing the city now is crazy, because to Josh's point, there's nothing wrong with making things better. Like gentrification, I think that is the root outcome that everyone wants from gentrification. When you hear that word, you're like, okay, you make things better. It's become a pejorative at this point. It's become really a negative vocabulary word, right? But I think in terms of what's happening where I'm from, there isn't enough industry out there for them to have like million-dollar houses like I saw last weekend. Like the actual industry out there is like government and Navy. And I'm like, there's no way that everybody can afford this shit. So it's like, it's not like affordable housing. It's like, literally, it's like millionaire housing. And what's crazy is, like, Pharrell tried to create affordable housing there last year, and they shot him down. And I think that it's insane that they shot him down, but built up like 10, 15, 11 million fucking new developments out there. And I gotta speak on this, because, like, I looked at that and I was really disturbed, because I was like, you shot down every single affordable housing thing that he wanted to do last year, but you guys did this. Like, this shit's crazy.
You know, it was also interesting that I did not know until recent. Obviously, the NBA season has been winding down, but the Washington Wizards were one of the bigger talking points at the end of the year, because I did not really keep up with their plan to relocate to Virginia within the next couple of months or couple of years or so. I saw the plan, the little graphic that they had, and the images that they were trying to plan for downtown Virginia. I was like, this kind of looks like you're building a lot of shit on top of the city.
They tore all the projects down around the downtown area
to make that right.
In order to make it, they would have had to. They shut it down though. They shut that down.
Yeah, and it was like three different arenas: baseball, NBA, and I think something else. I don't think it was for the Generals.
The issue is though, like, we don't have an NBA team. We don't have an MLB team. We have a minor league team. We have an MILB team, the Tides.
Yeah,
and no one, like, barely anybody goes to those games. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not big time. Like, I'm telling you, it sounds crazy to think of right now. I had never seen a big building until I fucking went to New York for the first time. I had never like. ironically, Plus is right there. Me and I went to New York for the first time with A Plus, and I looked up and I said, "Damn, this is a real city." You know what I'm saying? Like that's where I come from. So for them to like be trying to like capture that feeling without people being able to make that much money. Like, listen, my mom works in a school board. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's like the big, like it's out there. That's the top of the top of where you could be at, or working for the cops out there, or working for the government. Like, that's at the top of the top. But then you see like literally like Virginia, Josh has been there before. It's flat. Like it's literally just a bunch of like trees and shit. They knocking them bitches down and making new developments. So I'm like, bro, you can't, this shit don't make sense. Like, I really wonder what a bunch of people out there feel like, because, like, there's no nightlife out there either. Clubs, you can't really do shit like that out there. They've shut a lot of that stuff down in order to make what I believe is, like, I guess the perfect society out there. And that's what disturbed me the most, being out there, other than the fact that, like, the food is really great down there now. Like, you might not be able to find somewhere to live and shit, but, like, the food in Virginia, like, Josh, we got to go. To Norfolk, bro. So many good soul food spots, like Latin American spots. They have everything out there now, bro.
Yeah, nah, I got to pull it back up, man. My boy Mino, shout out to Mino. He's still out in Richmond. I definitely got to go visit him soon.
And thankfully, they cut down everything Wizards related, and now I think they're keeping it for the next 30 years or so. So it's a good thing that they keep that in D.C. instead of trying to make that out to Virginia. Because I don't think that would have looked really nice. Obviously, NBA expansion is still going to be a talking point. I just hope they keep it in the areas of Vegas and Seattle and not try and get too fancy with this shit.
It was never going to happen in Virginia. It's not big enough. They don't make enough money out there for there to be. It would be like a situation like people were upset about with the Warriors. It would be a Oakland to San Francisco type issue. It'd be the same as that, but like with way less money. Like it would literally be the same as that, but way less money. There's no tech industry out there. There's no industry out there that's not the Navy shipyard government job out there. Mm-hmm. Like there's actual industry other places, and I just think that it's interesting. And I hate to get on my like civil bag here, but I just wanted to know like the thoughts on like seeing that, because I had never seen that. Like, I moved to LA as an outsider. So a lot of stuff that's changed, when I see a change, I don't have a reverence of it from the past like a lot of people do out here, you know?
Yeah, and I think the one positive, though, is that at least home still you still come home and you still feel a easing, like a nice sense of, you know, family and bonding. Like some people come home and don't really feel that. They might get anxious and know of the family members that they're going to link with and yada, yada, yada. But to know that that still brings you comfort is something that's good.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the same spots are there. Well, mostly. But like it just sucks to see, like, I'm telling you, man, Military Circle Mall, ask A Plus about it, bruh. Military Circle Mall, one of the places I used to get sneakers from. Seeing that shit like gated off and they about to tear that shit down, it's sad to see. It really is, man. That was my I used to work there at the GameStop out there, and again, like, that's, it's just sad to see, man. So shout out to everybody in the 757. Shout out to everybody living and trying to make a living out there, because I see what it is. And you know, if you're making your way out there, then I definitely salute you.
And speaking of gates, Josh brought up Inglewood. Them gates about to come down in the fall. Clippers just had their last game at Crypto this past week.
Yeah, Intuit is opening it up. So I actually saw that Future Metro, they put out the tour dates, and that's what they're playing. So yeah, Intuit Dome, man, it's happening. It's real.
Do you think the Intuit will be like the new hot spot over Crypto for the next couple of years?
I think it's going to be a situation like New York, where they do Madison Square Garden, Barclays. I think people are just kind of cycle between the two. I think Crypto is still that premier spot.
Right.
Intuit is just Inglewood, and trying to navigate Inglewood traffic and shows is difficult. And they haven't figured, I mean, honestly, they're going to have more parking lots, but I think that's still a problem that they're looking for a solution for.
It's like that one big street. I forgot what the street was called. What, the
Perry?
Yes. That kind of borders everything, and it's only like two lanes, and it's always backed up when you go out there. Like, listen, trying to get into Mania was hell. I'm pretty sure trying to get into the Super Bowl was double hell, and like it's crazy out there. And to Josh's point, it's like they're trying to make more parking lots, but it's like there's only so much you can have when these places can hold 70,000 people and 20,000 people. And what, and at what point, like, if there's a big weekend and both of the SoFi and Intuit have some shit going on, it's going to be gridlocked. You might as well not even go over there.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm like, afraid of, because there's been times where there's been stuff at the forum, even something that mm-hmm. so far. So just seeing how they navigate that, I think, you know, Inglewood is such an up and coming city, but I still think they haven't figured out the actual logistics of it all.
Yeah.
Just putting shit in Inglewood. So mm-hmm. maybe need to build some new roads or something like that.
Not on a somber note before we get to the negativity of the past 2 weeks. OJ Simpson passes away, or he passed away last week. A guy that has a legacy that you have to, that it can only
the
be,
laughter.
It can only be because when you think of OJ, the OJ shit's funny because like everyone thinks of everything after his football career. So it's like it's after the football career. It's the case. It's the Bronco. But then, like, what's interesting about his legacy, yo, is like he has other shit that happened after that. There was the book. There was the press shit. And then there was the when he went to prison for trying to get his shit. What era of OJ do you talk about when you talk about somebody's, you know, history like that? And I think it's just he's just like one of the most fascinating Black people that have ever lived, yo.
Yeah, no, he's definitely one of those ones where it's like, I mean, I can't wait for the OJ movie.
Yeah.
Like I know they've done shows and things, but the actual movie about his life is going to be Academy Award winning.
Yeah.
Like, this guy was literally one of the best football players ever, went to trial for murder, got off, and it was like one of the biggest moments in Black history.
Yeah.
Like, literally, his lawyer became a superstar because of this. Like,
yeah.
And then, you know, just like you mentioned, all the things that happened after, the memorabilia, the book, you know, getting sued by the family and losing, like, it's just, it's so much.
Shit, he did lose a civil case, didn't he?
Yeah, he lost a civil case. That's why the whole memorabilia thing happened. He had to sell his memorabilia to pay off the civil case.
Fuck.
But then it's like, man, like, this dude is a Heisman Trophy winner. Like, this guy, like, it's just, he's just such a legendary figure. And, like, you know, I was thinking about him recently because before he passed, so I was thinking about Buffalo Bills and their history, and like they kind of don't acknowledge him at all.
Nope.
And it's like, man, he's probably the greatest football player to ever don the jersey,
right? Like, and like they didn't even say anything the day he passed, huh?
Yeah, I feel like no one said anything unless it was disparaging.
I want to say USC did, which is why I was like, wow, I would expect this to be more of an LA a big LA moment than it was, and I just felt like for the most part, things out here are pretty quiet.
The Heisman, the Heisman, I guess the people who do the Heisman trophies, they put a tweet out about his passing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, they need to also give Reggie Bush his Heisman back, but that's another story. I think, you know, when he passed, everyone kind of had most of the conversation I saw was around the Bronco.
Yeah,
and I'm like, damn, like I saw somebody Photoshop a hearse as a Bronco, like
that's nuts.
I'm just like, man, like, let my dude rest in peace. Like, he was acquitted, you know, so I just think, you know, we got to give him that respect.
I think the thing is that no one ever truly respected him after that, though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that it was even, like, you know, when somebody, like, passes away, they were a shitty person. It turned, like, remember when what's his name? Who was the guy who got captured in Vietnam? The old presidential candidate. Was it McCain? The guy who.
Oh, yeah, McCain.
They turned it up on his ass when he died. Like,
man.
With OJ, it felt like, to me, OJ's always been at an eight. Like, when you saw, like, the disrespect's always been an eight. So when OJ was on Cam and Mace's show, it was the disrespect wasn't different than it was 10 years ago. It was the same disrespect. I will say, like, I didn't see the disrespect get worse than what I usually see, but it's because, like, he's such a polarizing figure, bro. Like, even when you see, like, such a, like, remember the People versus OJ, that series that came out almost 10 years ago on FX? That and it brought the conversation back around. I think that sparked more, you know, more discourse and disrespect on his name. You know what I'm saying? Because that was a reason where it was like, okay, he said he said I'm not Black, I'm OJ. Jay-Z put it in a song. You know what I'm saying? Like, like the disrespect for OJ to me has never been turned down. So I didn't expect it to go lower when he passed away, but I was shocked to see the people that did, like the Heisman Trophy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they did say something. Like, I will say that it was kind of cool to see some people kind of show him love. But again, it's we talked about this with Kobe before on the show. We talked about this with R. Kelly on the show as well. Like, it's a
man.
It's a complicated legacy. It's a complicated legacy that you're not going to go.
Dark day when that happens. It's a dark day.
A dark day when you pass away. Like what? I mean, not to say that we want this to happen, but like, what do you mean by that, Mark?
It's gonna be a get offline moment. I don't think there's gonna be people that want to talk the positives. I think if there's two people that is gonna be with that. That I think it might just be like, okay, let's just stay offline because this is gonna be a celebration in the streets. It's him, and it's probably Vince McMahon.
I put three. I say Trump too. That's a third.
That's three.
That's crazy. Trump is our president, or was our president.
Bro, but the thing is though, Josh, his slander level is always at a 10. So at least you know when he died, it ain't going for the knob. Don't go further than what's already happened, that nigga, bro.
I mean honestly, you hit the nut on the head, Mark. I think it's gonna be a get off live moment. R. Kelly is going to be one where it's just like, I mean, he's convicted. So it's like, you kind of like, you at least have the warrant of it all.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I just think you got to give, you know, if you're not convicted, if it's a lot of accusations and no real truths are fact to it, you got to give people that grace, man.
I think it would be similar to OJ that like, if there was freedom, I think he would just end up being a punchline. Like I remember when Cam and Mace had him as their football correspondent and complete innocent thing. They would ask OJ, hey, you listen to 90s hip hop, blah, blah, blah. And OJ would be like, yeah, man, I listen to a couple things from time to time. And Mace was like, oh, what's your favorite song? Protect Your Neck. And I was like, come on, guys. And the joke went right over his head. I'm like, he's way too old to get this. Like, he is going to be the punchline. And he obviously ends up being the punchline until his last day. I think Al Kelly ends up being the same way.
Man, Mace got some fucking nerve. Makes me like, yo, I don't know how. I guess it just wasn't big news for people outside the hip-hop world. But some of the things that Mace touch on, like even just how hard he'd be going on the pause kind of thing. It's like, bro, you had a big pause moment in your career. Like, I don't know. Like, it's funny that it doesn't get brought up just because I think it was very much a hip-hop thing. But yeah, Mace is crazy, man. He got some skeletons in his closet. He needs to hush.
Favorite OJ moment was when they did that documentary and he walked through the door and he said, then he started laughing.
you really touching the waters with that shit, bro. I don't understand how that was as far as touch waters Hall of Fame. OJ was a nigga that touched the waters.
Bro, he made a book called If I Did It.
That nigga OJ crazy, man. Bruh,
like imagine you are trying to beat like your girl. She's like, you've been cheating on me. I got the proof. And then you get off, right? And then, but it's kind of foggy. It's kind of foggy on the innocence. It's kind of foggy on the innocence. And you go through it and you make a whole text thread on if I did do it and telling them how you would have did it if you had to cheat on your girl. That's the equivalent of that.
My thing is, I don't think he did it. I hope in his death that it comes out who did do it, but I think we won't find out until that person passes away.
They said on his hospital bed, his deathbed, he said, "I did it, yo," and then he died.
Could you imagine that though? Imagine if that actually was the occurrence though.
I did it, yo.
That nigga crazy. I think it was his son, but that's another conversation.
You thought it was Orenthal Jr.?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was his son.
Inglewood sources.
Is that an Englewood? Am I saying is that an Englewood source?
Englewood sources, man. Englewood sources.
All right.
Well, Brentwood source.
Well, rest in peace to OJ Simpson. Whether you're on one end of the spectrum or the other end, I'm on the end of he did the shit, but he got off and he's innocent. So what the fuck do I got to say about it anymore?
Man, that's fair.
Yeah, you know.
The glove didn't fit.
The glove didn't fit because it was shrunk. Bro, I'm not going to get into it. We know why that glove was shrunk, though. We know why. But I think we need some Inglewood sources for our next topic. 2 weeks ago, shout out to everybody that sent questions on our B-sides last week. A lot of Tim, Johnny Barnes, we're going to be opening up the lines for more questions. So if you liked what we did earlier this month, we're doing it again next month. Supersized episode of B-sides. Make sure you subscribe to the Patreon, $5 to do that. But speaking of Inglewood sources, since 2 weeks ago when we spoke, Future Metro dropped another album. And from that album, there's been more discourse. There's been more disses on the album. But we've got life. What did Josh say in the chat? We got action.
Hey, man. We got action.
We got action. So let's start from the beginning, because I think this actually happened the week that we actually recorded
J. Cole. I'm about to say, have we even had the chance to review the first album?
We talked about J. Cole. Well, we did. We talked about the first album 2 weeks ago. And then we talked about, because it came, the album came out on an off week. We talked about it that next day. But J. Cole came out that Friday after we recorded, because it was that Mania weekend.
Yeah, that's correct.
So J. Cole puts a diss out. Seven minute drill. Sorry if you can't hear it anymore. You might want to go to YouTube, because he took the shit off of fucking YouTube. So we got to go all the way back, because no one's really heard our thoughts on this since this has happened. J. Cole puts a diss out. 3 minutes and some change. He lets the diss sit, because it drops the same weekend as Dreamville Fest. And I'm thinking, oh shit, I declare war. And then this nigga went on stage and said, I declare peace. He said, my the vibe is off. I didn't feel right. And we don't have to stay on this topic much longer, because, you know, we got a lot more stuff for this week to talk about. But he basically says, I love Kendrick, and if Kendrick wants to diss me all day, buddy. I'll take the arrows. I'm not going to diss you back.
My thing is, and I'm not mad at it. In hindsight, and just looking back since the week following all that.
Yes.
I think I get where he's coming from. Yeah. It's like, you know, J. Cole ain't a battle rapper. He kind of, the pressure of the Kendrick verse kind of pushed him to kind of do that. And I get it, man. I think for him, it's just not in his character. Kendrick is generally one of his friends.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think he just kind of stepped out there and was like, I'm not ready to do this whole battle. It's like when you kind of like, it's like when you commit to doing something, then it comes up and you're like, I don't really want to do this. Like, but you already committed.
What did you think of the conversation after? Because it kind of got into that mode of new generation, old generation, light skinned niggas do this, dark skinned niggas do this type shit. And I was like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, my thing is, and it's not that at all. My thing with it all is like, love Cole. I think when you look at the competition and what hip hop is, I think it kind of fell. It just fell flat in that area. It's like, you know, hip hop is built on saying I'm better than you.
Yeah.
So when someone says I'm better than you and be like, oh, I'm just playing, just feels crazy.
But what do you think of Cole saying, of Cole jumping in that water, right, and saying I'm better than you, then saying, you know what, I don't want to be the type of rapper that says I'm better than you no more? Because I feel like when you do that, now you can't really say that no more. And like, I don't have a problem with him doing that, but it takes you out of a key piece of this conversation, in that the competition aspect of it is gone from you now. Now I can only look at you as a rapper now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I feel exactly the same. I'm like, I'm mad that he took that stance, because now you just listen to his music graded on a scale now. It's like all the, like, you know, all the goodwill he built up the last year and a half of just fire verses, and even just like Crocodile Tears, fire track. Mm-hmm. When I was waiting for that to drop, when he did the little snippet in the video, and now I listen to it after the apology, and I'm just like even just having something on your resume that says the apology, it's like, I damn near wish he would have did that in music form. If he apologized and music wrote a fire verse, was like, I think I would have felt a little bit better about it all.
Yeah.
But yeah, just to go on stage and kind of just cop kneel out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just felt a little crazy, man.
But it's weird that in this kind of, this is a strange thing that we're talking about. It's kind of unprecedented in a way, because there's so many moving parts here. Because after Cole does this, then pressure mounts in that Drake has to respond. So that next week, we're like, he hasn't said anything yet. Things are being, a lot of things are being said. Drake's kind of, to his credit, he did wait till the tour was over. And that's when he went dark for a second. And that's when I'm guessing he kind of went in and figured out his mold, because that's what happened. So last weekend, was it Saturday? Or there were rumblings Friday that it was coming, though, because a lot of pundits had said that it was coming. A leak happens from just some strange out of nowhere source of what was a rough version, sounded done, but also the verses were done. The beat kind of didn't sound like it was either. Drake responds. And at this point, before we even get to the response, there was a large contingent of people that were like, Drake isn't going to do it, or that he should. But it's like, now you're looking at it like Drake did what J. Cole wouldn't do. What do you think? Where does that leave Drake in terms of just like a, you know, a rapper now where it's like he actually responded and he hit everybody. He went in everybody.
No, I mean, Drake is battle tested, man. Mm-hmm. And as much as people don't want to admit it, Drake is hip hop. Like, Drake is, to me, and just even what he's been doing since the track has dropped, he's keeping the spirit alive. He's burning the flame. I can't front, like,
yeah.
Even just the little memes and just what he's done to follow up the record is just showing that he's like, yo, I'm in this for all the right reasons. Nah. And not to say that Cole is in this for all the wrong reasons, but I think Drake definitely stepped up to the plate. He's not shying away from what we want from him currently.
But we got the main event, right? Because ultimately, yeah, what would have happened if Cole stayed in it, it either would have been Cole going at Drake and Kendrick or Cole and Drake kind of bullying Kendrick on its own. So what happened was he cleared the deck. He said, hey, I'm going to move out the way. Drake, you got this. And Drake is literally on his own now. Even though first-person shooter, he was not the one who sent the shots. He's the only one left standing in this beef right now. That's crazy to me.
It is crazy. And honestly, and back to just keeping it hip-hop, I wanted that three-way match.
Right.
I wanted to see them just shooting at each other like that Mexican standoff of sorts. Like, I was kind of excited for that. But you're right. We got the main event. We got what's been teased for years. You know, it's been this underlying tension. And now that it's on the surface, everyone's going back and scanning old lyrics, finding little disses here, little disses there in both the catalog, Kendrick and Drake.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got the main event. It's here. I'm excited, man. I think, you know, coming out of the Like That verse, we had Drake on the clock. And it was ticking, and it was ticking. And then, as you mentioned, that Saturday morning, we got that leak. And I think Cam was the first one that threw it in the chat.
Yeah.
Shout out to Cam. He was like, yo, is this real? Is this AI?
To be fair, it was way too intricate to be AI from jump. Now, there's – and before we even keep – go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Go ahead. No, finish.
I got to say, that to me is what's really kind of hitting this beef in his kneecaps is all the people trying to jump to conclusions making these AI tracks. The Kendrick AI track was so clearly AI, but I feel like stuff like that, let's just call it, that was a fake-ass leak. That was not a real leak because there's no one in the world that could have just been, that track was too new, for one, to have been like, oh, shit, I lost it. Like, leaks are like shit that was done weeks ago. He was referencing shit that was going on. He referenced the Cole shit. So it, clearly he had recorded it like 2-3 days ago.
I have a theory. I think it was a toe in the water. It was like, let's see what people think.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna leak this and see if the response is good. And, you know, he got the response he was looking for. He went in and finished it up. It's still not officially out, and it had the official version that is with the new beat. It has something on the end of it, which makes me think he's going to put it out when he finishes that.
But this is what I think. And this is kind of like crazy booking, right? I think he's got a whole mixtape, like 50-esque.
That's interesting. I love that thought just because I've seen the Woo Kid tapping in with Woo Kid and all that shit. I think we're just about to get the full, like, I think this is very much what Kanye does. It's like, I'm going to put something out there and see how people respond. Then I'm going to go back. I'm going to switch the beat. I'm going to switch the lyrics. Then I'll put that out there, see how people respond.
Yeah.
I got something I want to put on the end of that. Like, it's like almost, it's almost like the crowd response is helping build the track.
Right. Yeah, his plan is different than what he did with Back to Back. Back to Back was like, I'm gonna give you a couple of days to respond, but with this one, it's like he's very measured. I'll say, like, he's saying, oh, I got another song loaded, so when you put that one out, I'm gonna put this one out. Is what I gather from this,
which is great because I think he respects his opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he knows that Kendrick ain't just coming with just a verse. It's gonna come with a full song, might be a video, might be two songs. Like, it's a clip loaded. And I think there's a big level of respect right there. And I'm excited, man. This is the most anyone's ever talked about hip hop. So
yeah.
I think, you know, in the last 5 years of this genre that we all love, this is the most exciting it's been slow. And this is you know, we coming off the back of 2023 when it's like, oh, hip hop was on a decline. You see, like, nah, hip hop is on the up and up. And even if there was a decline year, still the most powerful genre, still moving the culture. Everybody's talking about this. You turn on ESPN, they're talking about this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just everywhere. It's around us. I was talking to someone on my team that works in country music, and they're like, hey, can you explain this Kendrick and Drake thing to me? And I'm like, yeah. Yo, like, let me break it down to you. Like, this has just been like the Cold War of hip hop that's been bubbling. And now it's on the surface.
It's crazy to me. And I wanna like make it clear here that like these are two 15-year vets. You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't gonna be no it's over type shit. Like it's like we wanna see him spar. I think if Kendrick loses, it's no knockoff of him. I don't think anyone looks at him differently. It's the same as Jay and Nas. They both remain popular, some more so when it happened.
Here's my thing. There's no way for there to be a loser.
Yeah.
It's such a subjective thing. And to your point, they're both 15-year vets. No one loses. Like, yeah. I mean, arguably, Jay-Z lost the Jay-Z and Nas battle. And it's like, they still had careers after, still have fan bases. The fan bases here are so strong that one side won't admit. So it won't be a loser here. I think we needed this. We needed this for hip hop. They needed this.
Do you feel like people were, and I think it's wild to even answer this question because I wasn't surprised. Do you think people were surprised that Drake responded and had so much venom behind what he was saying?
No, because if you know Drake as an artist, Drake is petty. I think one thing that I looked at when I kind of was just getting into the mode for this battle was OVO Fest after the Meek Mill thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just all the memes and when he performed back to back and just the energy he had around that, it was like, oh, like he likes it. He's enjoying this. So I always thought he would respond back. I like how he kind of played it, though. It was almost like, I'm taking the high road. And then he came back and was like, no, I'm going to shoot at you niggas, but I'm still in the high road. Like, yeah. That line about, like, I'm at the top, I got to hike down this mountain.
Yeah.
Like, that personifies where he's at in this battle.
And it's the truth. It's the truth. Like, I mean, getting into some of the lines, I know this is very Throwblacks-ish, but there's a difference between a prince and a king, nigga. the size 7 line. I'm going to tell you who.
Well,
go ahead.
The size 7 line, when it's funny. I had spoken to someone who had heard the track before. So when the size 7 line came out, I was like, oh, that's definitely real. But if I hadn't spoken to that person, that would have made me think the record was AI. Because that is such a boo-boo line.
Yeah.
I do a big step for the size 7. That's like, we could write that. That's the line we were writing.
Drake's known for a groaner. He's got a couple in this song too. Yeah, some groaners.
Switch your pants. Like, yeah, I'm like, come on.
It's like
a Bart Simpson bar.
He's known for that, but I think that's why we love him. Because he's always gonna have this isn't gonna age well, but it goes right now. But I'll tell you who he doesn't respect. Everybody else in this track that was not Kendrick. Because everybody else got he slapped their hands like, stop it. Like, Future got what? 2 bars, 3, 4 bars on this whole thing?
Yeah.
It's like almost 4 minutes long.
I think he took it the lightest on Future. Because I think he also, I don't know, man. I got a lot of thoughts. And I just feel like with Future, it's like, you're not about to go against Future and like really disrespect him. Like, I just don't see it. Like,
to his point, too, Josh, Future is the person who said the least on both of these projects. He has had one song about it, and that was the intro to the first album, and he hasn't really said anything else since then.
You know, it's funny, man. I listen to both these albums with such a lens now. I'm like, anything that's just talking about anybody is about Drake.
Yeah, like, but it's still, even though We Still Don't Trust You, he says the name of the album, and he says it, but it's in reference to a girl. Like, it's not even like he's talking about Drake no more.
There's another song. This song is on the album. I'm like, is that about Drake? Like, I'm trying to think of the exact one. But it's like, I'm telling you, every single thing I hear, I'm like, is that about Drake?
Yeah.
All right.
Like,
it's a lens.
He slaps him down. I think the Metro line, it didn't need to be more than what it was, because in the real version, he drops the beat out on that shit. And it's like, that's the line that everyone's talking about, because he drops the beat out. And he's been going to Metro in a meme way. And I think that's probably like for the best, because it's like, he's not going to be able to respond. But like, Kendrick by far got the most. And I was actually, I think that my predictions were wrong. I thought the Future of Metro were going to get it the worst on this song. And it ended up being Kendrick who got it the worst. Rick Ross gets a throwaway line, which leads us into the next point of contention here. Rick Ross jumping into the whole thing and kind of furthering. Because again, Drake wasn't just responding to just those four people. He was responding to Rocky and Weekend. He says a lot of scathing things about EXO on there. Like, it was literally like the how to rob, you know what I'm saying, of a light-skinned nigga version of How to Rob. Like, he hit everybody.
I'm about to say, you sure you want to be in Canada right now? I forgot. The block is, the city is hot right now.
Hey, man. It's actually very cold and chilly. No, I for me, I think, to your point, he definitely made sure the venom was there for Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the way he kind of touched on everybody. I like the way he touched on Ross. I like the way he touched on Weekend and EXO. And, like, I think he made sure he's like, hey, like, I see and hear all of you guys.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad at it. I think that the Ross thing is super, super interesting to me, because all Ross did was just listen to the song. But it shows you that there's some underlying tension there. Like, this did just start in 2024.
Yeah.
There's been some tension there. And yeah, I'm not, man, I like how Ross is playing it right now. I think Ross, out of everyone that he's, like, that's Spank. Out of everyone he spoke about besides Kendrick, Ross is the only one who can play this game with them current.
Yes, yes.
And Drake is being really smart about ignoring it.
Yep.
I mean, I think he mentioned, he posted the conversation with his mom, which was interesting. I love, shout out to the relationship him and his mom have. You just read those texts, I'm like, yo, if my mom texts me something like that, I would call her.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We wouldn't be texting back and forth like
I think also, I know it sounds bad now because they're going through their issue right now. I honestly think that Drake and Ross have the most reverence for each other and respect for each other, just as, like, just from where they've been at together. I honestly don't see them beefing for that. For, like, seriously, like, 50 Ross type shit. I honestly don't see. I see them piecing it up one day.
Oh, it's jokes. It's pure jokes for both of them. Like, they are purely jokes on each other. This is like a bagging session that is going public.
Yeah, like, I think that, like, ultimately, like, Drake's like, because, like, I mean, Ross don't diss Drake either, but he's like, Ross is using this in the same way that Ross does everything in order to get more eyes on his brand. And if you look at it in that way, like, he's not trying to win. He's not trying to, like, get in the middle. But I also think that, like, he's leveraging this to get more conversation on him, which he always does.
I won't say that. I will say that Ross is having fun. It's like he recorded that 2 hours later. Like, he heard the song, and, like, he heard the song when we heard it maybe in the morning, and he had his response out by the afternoon. So it's like Ross is bored, and he's like, yo, like, I'm bored. I ain't got shit to do. I'm going to engage. And since he's engaged, there's been memes, and I think he's playing the game that Drake is playing, but Drake ain't playing no more.
Yeah. And again, like, the conversation, the discourse, the third eye prognosticating and guessing has been what it is. We're still waiting at this point. We don't know what's going to happen. I think that Saturday was, I will say this, Saturday was the most exciting that we've had in this game in a really long time. Like that verse was like a 8. This was like a 15, because it was like, again, he responded. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know, it's crazy. Cause it's funny, man. I think people are like the like that verse wasn't that great. That's the discourse I hear. They're like, oh, it's not as good as this, or as the song that Drake put together. And it's not, but I feel like, for me personally, I always respect the catalyst. And when I look at like that, and I look at it third week on the charts, Billboard 100, like, I don't think we've ever had a diss song ever do something like that. So, like, I think they're both at a 10, maybe at an 11 for both of them.
And be clear, like that is just a verse. It ain't a diss song, because Future's not even talking about Drake in this song.
No, I love Future's verse too. If I lose my diamond in the throat, I'm like, he going off.
Bro, that, Josh, you don't hate that, though, that people look over that great ass verse and go straight to it, because I'm being real, niggas skip over that verse.
I mean, I don't know what niggas is doing. I know what I'm doing.
You just said niggas said the verse wasn't that good, Josh.
I mean, I don't care what niggas is doing, because I like every part of that song. I like the how it start with the stutter, and I like Future verse. I like Kendrick verse. I like how it ends. That their beat breakdown at the end, bet y'all going fucking crazy, bro. Like, that shit's just a dope song to me. Like, I even was just talking to some friends about the tour. Like, I'm going to start a riot when they're playing that shit. Like,
Yeah, you got invited to the tour, Josh. You got your comp tickets, bro.
You know, I'm front row.
Yeah.
I'm front row backstage. Yeah, I'm all over that motherfucker.
I don't even know if that's a BND, bro. I don't know what that is, bro. That's a different type of influence, bro. I don't know what that is.
Hey, man, I'm just excited for the genre, man. I think we are having a revival. Revival. Shout out to Metro and Drake. I mean, shout out to everybody. Metro, Drake, Future, Cole, everybody. Shout out to all parties involved, Ross. I think, you know, this is what we needed, and I'm glad that you guys are making excited again. I hope this inspires the next generation. I've seen Simba say something about Cole. Come I saw on, Kaz man. Respond back.
Okay, I know, Josh.
I'm just saying, like, I'm seeing the activity, and I'm like, even if it isn't up to par, I'm seeing the activity.
Wake me up,
Gia. Where you at?
Wake me up when Cardi says something. Wake me up when the thing with these young rappers too is that like they be killing each other too much, bruh. Like I hate to sound like one of them niggas, but like they don't take it to the bars. They be like trying to really kill each other, yo.
Yeah, I just I've been trying to get into Baby Kia, and I just saw something with he got robbed for a chain or some shit. It was like some like a little video or something of it. I'm like, oh man.
Why couldn't we get instead of niggas just calling Gunna a snitch or some shit, just get on the track and y'all just go at it bar for bar. You know what I'm saying? Like, why couldn't it be that? You can't do that no more. This is rare. And I don't think that we'll see this ever again because we don't have two artists like Kendrick and Drake. We don't. We really don't. It's two goats going at each other. So however this ends, win or lose, I think we don't got that many more rounds between these two anyway with the amount of time they're waiting between them. But we got to appreciate this while we still got it.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I'm excited. I just got to keep saying it over and over again, man. I'm excited to see what the next steps of all this is. And I'm not even just talking about the diss tracks, but I'm talking about just the energy it's going to put into the game, man. I think for me, as a fan and a spectator, if I feel some type of inspiration from all of this energy, I'm just imagining what the rappers is feeling. Like, I'm imagining how Smino is feeling. I'm imagining how Jid is feeling. I'm imagining how kind of Baby, like, you kind of see it. You see, you know, Baby just dropped a snippet.
Yeah.
Even if you like it or don't, I know we've been talking about that. I liked it. I think I'm excited to see what the next steps of all this is. The energy just around the game is pulsating, and I want everyone to take the baton and run with it.
Yeah, yeah. Who you about to diss? You talking about it's motivating. Who do you about to diss? Mark?
Y'all, hey,
you
man. And Mark, no,
you
not
Mark,
even. Honestly,
you and Mark been
though.
Going at it. You and Mark been going at it all week. Mark being real.
Hey, I've been going at it with everybody, man. It's funny enough, like, I like this. I love this energy and conversation, and, like, I just, anyone I've been talking to these past couple of days, I'll take it personal. I'm just a fan of the game, man. I love the game,
Josh,
too much.
It's different when you talk, though. It's different. It's different. Just admit it. Just admit it.
It's funny, man, because it's not just Mark. It's like Mommy Matt, money making Matt. Me and him was going at it around the Cole shit. Like, and it's funny because it's
you
like
you trying to speak to Matt about Cole shit. Of course, y'all gonna go at it.
No, it's just like it's funny. Like we, it's just funny because it's like for me, these are people. You included, I argue about with anything. We argue about the Lakers, Heat. We argue about sport, all type of shit. So it's like to argue about hip hop with you guys, it is special, man. I love it. Like I love this game too much. Like it makes me excited. Like if you can see me right now, I have the biggest smile on my face. I love this shit.
Well, shit, we need to get more of these. Shit, push your T, jump in. Actually, don't.
Not even that, but it's like, yo, we got a Gunna album just announced, one of the ones, like, and I'm telling y'all, it's fire. Like, I heard it, like, I'm excited. Like, this, the game was in a dark place, and we getting out of it, man. Even the Thug trial is looking up and up, like,
yeah,
it's like, damn, this shit, like, it's feeling good, man. It's feeling real good right now.
Shout out
to hip-hop.
Shout out to, again, shout out to Thugger Daily, on their job this week. This case is bullshit.
I've been pretty sad about the DK info for Thug fans that have been listening for a long time. If you try to give Gunna a lot of shit, you should be very upset right now about this DK shit that's going on.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, my thing is, who the fuck is DK?
Stop it. Stop it.
Oh, boy.
Stop it.
No, it's real. It's like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, if the revelation that he snitched is like, okay, like, it had a snitch on the inside. Like, I don't.
But he does
never. I've never heard a DK verse ever in my life.
He does rap.
You never played those old. I mean, it would have been if it would have been those old. Remember when Gucci was trying to get out that new 1017 shit out before he's like, all right, guys, got to go to jail. And he had the Pee Wee album, the Migos album, the Thug album.
Oh, yeah.
And then 1017 Thug 2 came out. That's also old Thug. Yeah. DK
yeah.
I referenced really, a lot in 1017 Thug 2, as well as I've that Purple album.
I didn't know he rapped. I know he's been like, there's been like lines shouting him out and shit like that, but I never thought of him as a rapper.
Even still, even if it's not, I think that I think what Mark's getting at is that, like, even if you don't know who DK is, it's like there's one person that's there sitting down, and there's one person that's not in there right now at all and won't be. And I think that's where I met with it. Is like there were people that, like, and even Gunna said it himself on Bread and Butter. Like, how the fuck you think we got knocked? These niggas was talking. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's what it is. But shout out to Gunna.
There's a long list of names on that list. If you thought some of the names that have came up with bad, there's even more that's gonna make their way. Nigga told on Thug. Nigga told on Quan. Told on who else?
Everybody. Roscoe. Everybody.
Yeah.
Crazy. But Josh, you were at Coachella last weekend, right?
No. So it's funny, man. I did make it out. And I'm kind of sad I did, man, because fucking Tyler killed it. Tyler Doja. Rungbin, there's a lot of. I saw the stream. And I was like, "Oh, this shit is.
There are
this
people.
Is looking great."
There is a contingent of people that have said that this is the worst Coachella ever.
Oh, I mean, they say that every year about everything, man. People are haters. honestly, just from afar, like that shit, it didn't. I don't know if I'm just growing out of the age of Coachella. Honestly, this is. I've talked to people and they're like, "Oh, it's like a. It feels like a decline here for the Coachella, but." Looking, I had FOMO looking at Doja Cat's performance.
Right.
I was like, damn, I wish I was there. And then Tyler's shit was this superstar times 10. Like, a lot of conversation around him being part of the big three.
Yeah.
I think it might,
who
it
started
might be
that?
Valid.
Who said that? Niggas? Niggas? Hashtag niggas said that? Josh?
Niggas. Niggas, yeah, okay. Yeah, niggas are saying that. It might not be actual
niggas. Niggas and y'all? Niggas and y'all are saying that? Yeah.
They. Hashtag they.
Them and them are saying
That shit was my. I was just like, Uzi, you are a funny nigga, bro. Then nigga started sexy walking. I said, come on, bro.
Somebody who I know who will remain nameless, and if you know the cadence of how this question was asked, you'll automatically know who asked this question. Josh would probably be able to figure out who asked this immediately. They said to me the other day, they said, how is he's not even a question. They said, Uzi using his they them shit to get away from the fact he got allegations. What you think? That was his question to me. That was his question to me.
I'm thinking of the who, and I'm dying laughing.
Allegations is funny. Man. We got to start talking about convictions.
Well, it was kind of a conviction, bro. Yeah.
Everybody got allegations.
Did he definitely have to go to like the crazy house for that shit he did?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, should I believe it? Josh has told his Uzi story on show before.
Yeah, shout out to Uzi, man. You know,
getting his life right. It's all love. Getting his life right. One more thing before we get out of here. We Still Don't Trust You album. I like it, man. It's real good. I like that music. This is what I wanted. This is what I wanted. I think the time for me to be on Trap Future has probably not come to an end, but I could put it to the back burner because he gave me more Hendrix, give me more Hendrix vibes on this one. And
you wanted that. Good
that's
shit.
What
good,
I wanted.
Good call out.
That's what I wanted. I said, I'm hoping that the next album is more Hendrix inspired. And it is. He's talking about some crazy, again, I love when Future gets in this bag because he starts talking about, like, there's a line where he talks about he didn't go to his aunt's funeral because he was too high. And he's always going to regret that shit. I'm like, bro, that's deep. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I fuck with that. Like, he, when he gets in, like, to fucking beat it, come on, man.
Yeah, nah, Gracious is my shit.
Yeah,
it's Gracious, Amazing Interlude. That should have been a longer song.
Yeah,
it's fucking
nice like this,
nights like this.
Jealous
came to the party. Yes. Jealous is one of the ones, man.
Jealous,
like,
it's crazy.
When Future taps into his feelings, it's like it's just a whole different artist, man. Mile High, mm-hmm. I think that's. You know, it's like vulnerability that isn't expressed in hip hop at all at this point. And I think, you know, he's able to tap into that and still come across as as a man.
And I think what's cool about it is that it's so bare. It's very much like laying it bare in the same way that what Lil Wayne used to do when he would do his like his stream of consciousness, like prostitute flange and all shit like that. I think with Drake, when we say vulnerable with him, it's very much the brand of him being vulnerable. It's very much he's aware that he's saying these things. With Future, it's like we're learning something new about him. I think with Drake, we know everything pretty much about where he's at, what he's going to say, the wars that he has in his own head. With Future, it's very much a shock or a surprise every time we hear that. Like the way he's having sex with you must be heaven is a line that he says on it. I'm just like, that's what we need, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the type of shit that we need, bro. Like he's like one of the best R&B singers of all time. This is one of the best R&B albums I've ever heard.
Yeah, no, I mean, and big shout out to Metro, man.
He made them drums.
Hey, I'm telling y'all, man, like there needs to be a conversation. Metro Boomin, like he's our generation. Quincy Jones, Dr. Dre, like I stand on it. Like he is one of the ones. Like you come to Metro, you're gonna get you a fire ass album. You're gonna get you a fire ass song. You're gonna get you, and it's not gonna be. It ain't a sound. It's not like you can go to Metro and be like, oh, the Metro Boomin sound. The Metro Boomin sound is expansive. He could do almost anything.
Yeah, he's on his Kanye shit on Still Don't Like You. He's on his Kanye. I said, this is like 03 Kanye inspired. This is, and very much his own type of thing, because Kanye wasn't fucking with 808s like the way that Metro does. Like he got the samples like right. You know what I mean? And Metro was somebody that he was a producer that up to like maybe a couple years ago wasn't really sampling that much. And when he started getting into that shit, he was out of there. He was out of there. Like he samples Genuine, he samples the Isley Brothers, man. Like all of this stuff. It's not like, even if it's stuff that you've heard before from other songs, he does it in a way. He flips it in a way that it has a bounce to it. Like he samples the Juicy J song on Nice Like This. And mixes it with another song. And I'm just like, bro, that's just genius. Who would have thought of that? Who would have fucking thought of that? And it's fresh. You know what I mean? That's the only word I got to say for it. It's fresh.
Yeah, Metro got in his bag, man. I think he really showed that, like, he's the next generation that's producing shit. Mm-hmm. He's still so young. Metro might be 30, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, Metro still got a lot of years to come. And he definitely stamped it. That's why it's funny with the whole, like, Metro gonna make some fucking drums. It's like, yeah, nigga, I'm making drums at a high of the clip. My drums so fucking
You know nice. What? All right, Josh, come
my
on.
My thing is, my
Let him go, let him go.
Nice.
I need to hear this. I need to
it
hear
is
this.
What it is. My drums so nice, you still want to rap on them. You still Josh, rapped on them on your on her loss.
The mask slipping, bro. The mask is slipping. The bias is coming out.
I'm just saying, is this what it is? It's not no bias. It's
not the yes.
But we talking about
Josh.
That.
Josh, it was literally just. It was literally like you know, like obviously we know he's doing that, man. The line is a funny ass line. Like he slapped him up. He hit him upside the head and called him a nerd. Basically,
but you coming to a nerd for your palate.
They all come to nerds. The only producer that ain't a nerd is Southside, bro. That's the only producer that'll shoot your ass.
All right, keep fucking with Metro.
What? But, oh God.
You know what Future said.
I heard what you said, but bandana on my head.
You know what the tagline is.
Bandana on my head, you fuck with Troy, they did.
I ain't gonna say it, man. Shout out to Metro, man.
Hey, get me out of here, man. All right, man. Thank you guys for listening to the show this week. We're going to be right back with you guys with Throw Blacks Honest in a new episode of Black Prayer. Also, a new episode of Overly Conversating with me and Mark is coming up really soon. And yeah, thank you guys for listening. Josh, please be safe out there, Montreal, buddy.
Hey, man, I'm in Vancouver and I'm good.
Why
man.
I say Montreal? You know. Oh, because WWE was out there last night. I said Montreal that way. That's why.
I stay with some shooters, man. You know,
shut the hell out of here, nigga.
Cash got you right.
I got people in every city, man. What? Come on.
Got people in every city.
All right, man. Get this nigga out of here, man. Go make a drum, nigga.
Hey, man.
All right, y'all. We'll see you guys in a week. For Mark and Josh Pease, I am J5. We'll see you guys next time on Black Print. Peace.